This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good evening, I'm Uma Pagan Ampike Pagan.
And I'm Richard Bradbury.
This is the evening edition talking comedy, specifically to know Malaysia is to laugh Malaysia. This is going to be the biggest night of stand-up comedy in the country, and we've got two of the comedians here with us, two of my favourite comedians, don't tell the rest, Haris Iskander and Dr. Jason Leong. Welcome back to the evening edition.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So, guys, tell me, I mean, to know Malaysia is to laugh Malaysia. I'm a big fan of the puns, Haris. what's this all about?
Well, I tell you what, I mean, we're talking about comedy here, but how it all came out, where it grew from, was the fact that this has been a pretty tumultuous, like the word.
Great word.
Year for Malaysia in terms of accidents, social events, social unrest, and I just thought to myself, you know what? It's time for Malaysians to de-stress and laugh again. So we just planned this one night of comedy. And being Malaysian, I thought, hey, why don't we make it the first of something? Mm. Malaysians would like to do that.
Biggest and first.
The biggest and first. Yeah. So this will be the first stand-up comedy concert in a stadium by a Malaysian. And the biggest at 9,000 people.
So, Jason, are you a little bit nervous about that? 9,000 people all staring at you, expecting you to be funny?
Yeah, I'm very nervous. Thank you for putting on the pressure, Richard. Thanks so much. But yeah, it's going to be a really great fun, good night, and I hope everyone comes because I need the money.
Is this the first time you're going to be performing in such a large crowd?
Definitely. Yeah, the first time ever. The second largest crowd prior to this was about 2,000 people, and that's just once. You know, usually I'm more comfortable with like 20. Or my house.
I've performed in front of otters at the zoo. There was an audience and myself.
Sorry, I thought you were just being insulting to an audience. It's actual otters.
Actual otters.
Did they clap?
Rocks.
Did they like
that? Was the seals next door?
Right. Yes, of course. Yeah.
That's a true story. I'm not even joking.
No, okay. but surely you've performed to much bigger audiences, Haris. I mean, you must not be an old
live
hand at this.
9,000 live. It'll be the first time. I did do the closing ceremony of the Commonwealth Games in 1998. Was it? I think.
That's right.
That was live across the world. I did not know it was live across the world because right after Ella finished, I walked back on stage and I went, "Hey everyone, are you enjoy?" At which point, my aunties from England called up because they happened to be watching and said, "Actually, your English is a bit suffering, isn't it?" I didn't realize, and then I realized, oh my gosh, there were a billion people worldwide watching.
Wow, you had to follow the Ratu Rock.
I had to follow the Ratu Rock.
Oh, that's tough.
It's tough. That's tough. And I was very young in my career and back in the day. Anyway,
right. So you know. The last time we spoke, we had you guys on the show as well, and we were talking about the state of comedy in Malaysia. I mean, for you guys to be confident and happy and, I guess, secure enough to say, hey, we're going to have 9,000 people in a stadium, things must be going pretty well, yeah?
Mm. Well, yes, pretty well in the sense that we've also pitching this as a corporate event. A lot of corporates are behind it because a lot of corporates that we've approached have recognized that, you know what, Malaysians, we need to actually get together. So they're coming in with big purchase of tickets as well as getting the best seats and stuff like that. So it is not, I'm just not thinking to myself, hey, 9,000 people will show up just like that. You have to push. Any big event in Malaysia, to get that number of people, you have to push. You have to do the legwork.
I mean, how is it going to work as well? Because if you're performing to a smaller crowd, you know, you tend to have a rough idea of what your audience is going to be like, and you can kind of tailor your material to that particular audience, to a degree anyway. When you've got like 9,000 people in a stadium, is your material going to change that much, do you think?
That's a very good question. I really like that question. Jason, could you answer that question?
Well, I think right now it's an interesting time for comedy in Malaysia, and I think, and I'm optimistic that most of the people that come to the Stadium Putra on the 29th of October. That's the day of the show.
I like that.
I was getting to it, boys.
Sorry. and most of them will come for the comedy. And I think there won't be too much of like tailoring the material or whatever.
Right,
I think they're there for the laughs, you know, and not just otters.
But does it help? I mean, such a large audience, because you know when you're in sometimes when you're in a bar or a comedy club, you know, when you can hear the crickets. If one person laughs, you can almost hear that single laughter. But in a crowd, is it infectious almost? I mean, performing to such a large group of people must be easier, no?
I would not say it's easier. It's probably slightly on a degree harder in the sense. But if 9,000 people actually laugh at the same time, I could probably just walk off stage right then, even if it's only been 3 minutes into the show, and say thank you, good night, try the veal.
But he won't do that. He will perform his full set so that people that pay for the tickets get the full value, right, Harith? That's right. Yeah.
To know Malaysia is to laugh Malaysia. Wednesday, 29th October 2014 at 8:30 p.m. More with Harith Iskandar and Dr. Jason Leong in just a minute. You're listening to the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, good evening. This is the Evening Edition with Richard and Uma. We're talking comedy today. To know Malaysia is to laugh. Malaysia is a stadium-sized comedy show that will be taking place on the 29th of October 2014 at 8:30 p.m. Stadium Putra Bukit Jalil. Two of the folks performing, Harith Iskandar and Dr. Jason Leong, household names by now, are here with us today. We're asking them all about comedy and the show. Tell us, guys, who else? I mean, there's two of you here. What is the lineup like? How many comedians? How long is the show? What's going on?
Well, there's two of us here. I've also invited a friend, Papa CJ, who's from India. He's an internationally renowned stand-up comedian, a great friend, and I know he goes down really well with Malaysian crowds as well. So basically three of us. It's a 90-minute show. With comedy, you can't go on too long. People have their threshold of laughter. But it will be jam-packed with good stuff, all the best stuff, the quality material.
Yeah. Right. Now, stand-up, I guess stand-up comedy is thriving. I would say it's thriving in the Klang Valley.
It's doing very well in Malaysia.
There
right now.
Are comedy nights there with very frequent comedy nights. There's even now, I guess, the very first stand-up comedy club in Tamantun, the Krakow's Comedy Club.
That's right.
I mean, all of these are really good signs. So I'm going to ask you the obvious question. Is there money in it? I mean, are you guys happy to make a living? Can you quit your day job, Jason?
Well, yeah, I think it's actually quite a funny thing in Malaysia where a guy telling jokes can make more money than a guy saving lives.
Jason is a doctor, for those of you who are uninitiated.
A real doctor.
And I love that job. But yeah, it's now, yeah, most of us are lucky enough that we can get by just by doing shows. And yeah, it's weird though, because I think in this region, probably Malaysia is the only place, or Klang Valley is the only place where that can happen, you know.
Well, you know, funny you say that, because a year ago, I think I had asked you the same question, and you were like, oh, verdict's still out.
Yeah.
So that much has changed.
Yeah, this year has been a bit of an experiment for me, and I can say the verdict's out. Yeah, you can if you're smart about it, and you do the right steps, you meet the right people, like Harith. You know,
upon saying that, in Malaysia specifically, in Klang Valley, to bring in the moolah, the big bucks, you really have to play to the corporate crowd
That's
as well.
That's what I was going to ask. Yes. Is it that crowd that are paying? You know, is paying the.
It is basically the corporate crowd that's paying the rent. But as a result of that, the public shows, the club shows, are actually great fun and a great night out and relatively cheap in the scheme of things. That I think it's actually healthy for people to go out once a week or twice a month and just laugh.
Yeah. So where are you testing your new material at then? What do you test them out in the comedy clubs and then use it in the corporate gig, kind of? Is that how it works?
Yeah, kind of, yeah. It's like all these open mic shows that we have. Yeah. And
I've
also
seen one or two of those.
Thank you for cheering my jokes, even though they were just new.
Hey, it was pretty good.
Oh, thank you. I was setting up for that. But yeah, thank you so much. Yeah. But yeah, that's the way it works, like, exactly. Because sometimes the funniest jokes don't make it to the corporate set. It's usually the ones that are the safest and funny. So there's always a balance. Yeah, but I think we've all figured a way where, yeah, we tried our new stuff, and then if it works, then we think, can this work in a corporate setting where there are ministers, there are kids around, and that's why it gets filtered down to the corporate setting.
And what's the kind of camaraderie like amongst you group of comedians?
Because
right?
You're a small circle.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a very small circle with incredible politics. Right. It's wonderful.
Is there a hierarchy as well?
I can't say that because I'm at the top.
He is the top, like Godfather, isn't he?
His nickname is the Godfather. That gives you the hierarchy. It's like a mafia of comedians. Everyone's trying to kill each other. But no, we're all good friends, and we're all brothers. And like all brothers, we have our rivalries and love hate relationships.
I think it's actually healthy in a way, because you always look at the comedian. You know, even me, it's really helped me in a way, because now I've got someone snapping at my heels. I'm thinking, I've got to move up a gear. I can't coast along as I was for the very longest time. So it's a good thing.
And I guess
competition is a good thing.
It happens in all these small circles, doesn't it? I mean, Harith, you're no stranger to this, because you've obviously dabbled in theatre as well. And of course, the theatre scene in Malaysia went through, or still goes through, the similar things. You know, this group doesn't mix with that group, and then they want this funding and that funding, and you know, that kind of thing is quite common. But do you find it to be, has it been a hindrance to your work? Because you're such a small circle, are you fighting for the same audience?
I personally don't think so. I actually believe and welcome competition and sharing of audience, because market forces will dictate in the end who continues. I've been doing this for 23 years. The young comedians have been around for 5 or 6 years. I'm still around, which means, okay, there's still some value to what I do. Talk to me next year and maybe I won't be at this microphone anymore. But I'm just saying, it's great. It's always good. And those who are good and great will move to the top and continue work, and those who aren't will filter off and become a doctor or something, you know.
Jason?
Yeah.
I mean, has the tone of comedy changed then much, Harith, do you think, here? Or are you still seeing like elements of what you may have seen 20 years ago?
I think it's only changed in the sense with the access of YouTube, or easily access videos on YouTube. The younger comedians, you know, come out of the gate almost running, but almost, to me, running on fuel, which isn't there. So a lot of young comedians will come up with a, hey, yo, 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 what up, my... And let a word.
Yeah.
And then it's a Chinese boy on stage.
So not me. I just want to clarify.
So what I'm saying
it's Jen Han.
What I'm saying is, you know, their reference points, their material of knowledge is much wider than what I had. I had one VHS videotape of Eddie Murphy's Delirious,
which is possibly one of the best.
Possibly, but that was my reference point.
Yeah.
So has the material changed? Has the landscape changed? I think it has, but all for the good, in my opinion.
Mm. You know, there's Harith hates it when I tell this story, but of course, when I was 11 years old, I grew up watching Jagan Katawa and Harith Iskandar. But you know, and it's ironic because that is still, in my opinion, some of the sharpest Malaysian comedy that's out there to date. It hasn't dated. I still catch some of the stuff on YouTube.
Exactly.
And it's dated very well.
I got to agree with you, although I was in the show. Yeah, it does. It holds up even till today. We're now talking about TV comedy. TV comedy, in my opinion, yeah, I watch some stuff now and I'm thinking, well, yes, P. Ramlee did that in 1960.
Correct. Mm.
Now, I'm not saying it's not funny, but it's been done. And why are we still here?
Yeah.
You know, it's as if we were still doing the pratfall on a banana skin, you know, for that reason.
Exactly. And, you know, there's room for spit takes, but every once in a while you want to change it up a little bit. To know Malaysia is to laugh. Malaysia, stadium-sized show, folks, biggest ever, taking place 29th October 2014, 8:30 p.m. Stadium Putra. Book it, Jalil. After the news, we'll be asking Harith and Jason about the Malaysian audience and just how they've evolved over the last few years. You're listening to the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9. Good evening, I'm Uma Paganampike Pagan.
And I'm Richard Bradbury.
This is the Evening Edition. We're talking comedy, specifically To Know Malaysia is to Laugh Malaysia. It is a stadium-sized show, Stadium Putra. Book it, Jalil. Wednesday, 29th October 2014, 8:30 p.m. It'll feature Harith Iskandar, Dr. Jason Leong, and Papa CJ all the way from India. We've got Harith and Jason here with us. We've been talking ins and outs of comedy in Malaysia. Guys, talk to me about the audience. I know the last time the both of you were here together, you can download the podcast on www.bfm.my. We talked about the Malaysian audience. We talked about how they keep going back to the same things, right? There's these safety zones where all comedians can fall back on and people will just burst out laughing. Racial humor, Rosma, politics, and so on. Has that changed a little? I mean, do you find the audience is evolving? Are they getting better?
Well, I think where it's changed is that the audience can go to www.airasiaredtix.com to get tickets to this show. So look at that. Look, that's pretty
good.
That
you got
the look of surprise on their faces.
Yeah.
What was your question again?
Where can I get tickets, Harith, once again?
I don't know whether it's changed for the better. I think there has been a change. We were talking during the break about Jangan Katawa, the TV show I was involved in back in 1991. And if you look at the comedy then, we got away with a lot more then than we do now. However, upon saying that, there was no stage stand-up comedy in those days. If you go to the clubs, I think some of the younger comedians are really, what I would say, past the fence in terms of the material. Fortunately, not all of it's on YouTube, or you know, they could get in trouble. But I think the audience, out there is more mature. However, what we are allowed or not allowed to say, I think, has in a way possibly slightly regressed.
Mm.
And of course it becomes harder because the audience expect more because of this whole internet YouTube revolution thing, because they watch everything from everywhere.
Yes.
from David Letterman to Russell Peters to everything, right? So I guess they go in with a higher level of expectation as well, don't they?
Yeah, I think nowadays with a lot more international comedians coming and playing our little scene in Malaysia, it's nice to see audiences packing up all this international comedians that come. Like, for example, we had the Melbourne Comedy Festival Roadshow. We had Ronnie Cheng, who is from Malaysia but mostly from elsewhere. And yeah, it's nice to see them taking this international brand of humor, you know. And even our friends Rizal Vengazel, he in his crack house, they have international headliners night every week, and people are going to see international headliners. So it's great to see that the scene evolving slowly. But I think one day we'll get there, even though we're still in the infancy stages.
Now, Jason, you were in New York recently, and
yes,
you
sir.
Performed at a couple of comedy clubs.
That's right.
In the United States, and I'm always curious. Did you ever try? I know comedians always modify their material,
mm-hmm.
but did you ever try anything remotely local just to test the audience to see if they get it?
When I went to LA and to perform, I did a 20-minute set at Laugh Factory Hollywood, and I knew then that there were a lot of things that the local humor won't translate.
Mm.
However, I can be honest about it and say I'm from Malaysia. Malaysia is a dangerous place, and I make jokes about our crime rate.
Right.
Yeah. So I mean that takes in, but mostly Americans, I'm sorry to say, they don't know where Malaysia is. Right. One Asian guy in front of me literally say, "Hey man, there's a great show. Your English is very good." I swear to you, that really happened. So I'm like, I probably won't try to educate them about Malaysia, but I felt that I need to represent Malaysia, so I'll be honest about being from Malaysia.
Just adding on to that, I've just completed a small international tour, which include Seoul, Korea, India, Singapore, Hong Kong, Jakarta, and Perth,
mm-hmm.
where lots of locals from each country, plus a lot of expats and foreigners. One of the best or biggest laughs or jokes went down, I spoke about Malaysia having the four boxes, Malay, Chinese, Indian, other. Now, the setup in those countries, I would actually have to explain slightly the structure of the Malaysian
society.
But they would sit through the setup, listen to it, absorb it. So even though they had no idea of the experience, by the time I get to the joke or the bits, they're actually with me. They're like, okay, got it. I see where you went. And they really, as far as I can tell, appreciated that. Because a lot of people came up to me after the show and like, hey, you know, either I was in Langkawi for a week or I've been to, you know, Penang. But we really like that bit about, you know, the four boxes. I found that really funny, interesting, entertaining, / whatnot. Because they appreciate it. They could laugh at something that they had no experience of.
Mm.
But, hey, that's funny. I can get that.
Does that challenge of kind of making local content, if you like, appealing to an international audience, that challenge, do you kind of like that challenge? Or do you, because if you come here and you tell that same joke, you know, people will be laughing their heads off. But if you've got to take the time to set it all up and whatnot, do you kind of thrive on that, maybe?
I felt yes.
An achievement.
I felt it was an achievement that they got it and they liked it. And I didn't go straight there. As I'm doing my show, I worked out, okay, I think they're going to go with this. And in every city I traveled to, and I did seven cities, I did that bit and it always went down well. So for me, yes, it was a challenge, but I enjoyed that challenge.
Mm.
It's a similar when a foreign comedian comes here, an American or a British or New Zealander, if they walk onto the stage and they go, hey, I've noticed your motorcyclists wear their jackets back to front. You know, Malaysians immediately go, yes, I accept you. I'm going to listen to whatever you're going to
say
because you have noticed something about us.
Right.
Yeah.
And it was the same with every country that I went to. As long as you go, hey, I've noticed this about you people, they will then go with you on your journey wherever you're going.
Nice. Mm. And of course, I guess the same. I guess is happens with film, with literature. Being American, being British is almost too easy in that sense, right? Because we're exposed to so much of their culture, they can come in, do the exact same set, and we're going to get every joke.
Yes,
right.
True.
We're going to get the fried chicken jokes and African Americans. We're going to get the Latino jokes. We're going to understand the structure of their society,
exactly,
right?
Yeah.
But you know, speaking of society, Haris, you dabbled in Malay stand-up comedy, right? Because it never existed, right? So Malay comedy was primarily physical. It was
slapstick.
And then you said they started, what was the word you said? You said, was it lawak pakai tai or lawak intellectual?
Lawak intellect.
Lawak intellect, right? Yeah. I mean, how's that going?
I will tell you now that there are now open mic nights in Bahasa Malaysia. They've popped up over the city in the last couple of months or so, which is really interesting. I can't say where it's going, where it's heading, but there is. I recently went live, did a live bit on a live show, which was the local comedy awards night, and I did an 8-minute set, which is probably the first live 8-minute set in Bahasa Malaysia on any station in Malaysia. And I had to say, half the audience, based on my Twitter feeds and response, got it completely, and half were like, what was that about?
That seems insane to me that you're waiting until 2014 to do, you know, a stand-up set in your native language. Why has it taken that long?
Because I think, if I may speak on this, stand-up, or rather comedy in Malaysia, has always been sketch-based.
Right.
Characters put on a wig.
Benny Hill kind of
yes,
stuff. Right.
You know, so it's always been there. And yes, it is a little bit insane. However, upon saying that, let's take Jakarta, Indonesia. Mm. They started their stand-up comedy scene only about 2.5, maybe I would say 3 years ago. So they're fairly new it as well, and they're the biggest, what I would say, Bahasa language speaking audience in the world.
So and it's really great now that we have, I think we have a lot of, starting to have some open mic nights in Bahasa Malaysia. And I recently did a set as well, and it went okay. I quite enjoyed myself. And
I like the way he goes, it went okay.
Because I don't want to overhype myself. But it's nice, and the thing is, when I was hanging out with them after the show, and it is really nostalgic for me, because how they are now is really how we were 3 years ago. And it's just starting.
Well,
you know?
So does that mean you get a little more resistant from the audience as well? I remember Harris telling me a story about the early days when I think Douglas made a joke, and the audience, two members wanted their money back.
Yes.
And then you said to them, would it be okay if I made the joke? Because I think it was a Malay joke.
Well, the point being that, you know, when you come to a comedy show, you have to expect a certain amount of shtick at you, or, you know, somehow. You don't. I walk into the Transformers 4. I didn't walk out going, I didn't enjoy that, give me back my 12 ringgit. Mm. You know, basically because I fell asleep. But my point being, yes, I got what I expected, you know, that kind of.
So is the Malay audience at that stage now? Are you getting a bit of resistance? Like, oh, how can you say that?
Yes, not at that stage now. So it's because it's not mature yet. Mm. They're experiencing it for the first time. They're getting this thing called comedy in a stand-up version on a plate. And they're like, that tastes nice. Oh, that bit was, what's this? Oh, it shouldn't taste like that. So there's still those questions, expectations.
Mm. And what is it like writing a Malay stand-up comedy? Because obviously, timing is slightly different, language aside. I mean, what is it like, Jason?
Well, when I did my set a few weeks ago, I cheated. I basically translated my jokes in English, which were in English, written primarily in English, to Malay. But I also had to know that, okay, there are certain sensitivities involved and certain timing, of course, which is different. So, yeah, it is a challenge. But to be honest, I think at the end of the day, the basics of writing a joke in English or whatever language will be the same.
It translates across.
It's the same. The simple rules are the same throughout. You know, mm-hmm. it just needs a lot of practice, and you gotta have a lot of stage time to be good at it.
Is this one of the ideas behind this whole set? Then is, you know, once you can kind of laugh at yourself and, you know, take somebody throwing things at you, literally, like words being thrown at you, and you can start, you know, it's okay, people can say this about us, we can say that about them, it's okay. Is that part of what this is?
Well, Laugh Malaysia, and I like the way you brought it back to that, that's very good, thank you very much.
He is a professional.
He is. Laugh Malaysia, as it is, and it says in the title, is about Malaysia laughing. Now, I'm not breaking it down to any groups or anything, but yes, it is about, let's not be so sensitive about everything. Yeah, I understand Malaysian sensitivities, but we've got to be able to laugh at ourselves. And this was actually said to me by Idris Jalla. He actually said to me, I met him at a function, he's like, I like what you do, because I find that Malaysians need to laugh at themselves a little bit more. And because when you laugh at something instead of taking it seriously, basically you're taking the power away from that.
Right.
To hurt, yeah. to maim, mm. to you know, disagree with. You just, you know what, we're laughing at it, we're not even going to give it any more attention, mm-hmm. other than laughing at it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've been very fortunate to do this for the past 3 years, and I still maintain that one of the most beautiful things to see in Malaysia is a group of Malaysians, 300, 400, 200, all laughing with each other about at a joke about Malays, about Chinese, about Indians. We all just laugh.
And what can top that is when there's otters in front as well, mm. okay. laughing.
Exactly. So it's a really nice thing to see Malaysians just for that few minutes forgetting about our differences and laughing together as one. And you can't tell from the laughter who is the Malay laughing, who is the Chinese laughing, mm. who is the Indian laughing. We're all laughing together, and that's, I think, very beautiful. And 9,000 people laughing at Stadium Putra, that's going to be even more
on
beautiful.
On 29th October?
Exactly.
Sometimes you can tell when it's the Indian laughing.
Because they follow up with the cheers, is it?
Yeah, we're very loud. So that is it, folks. To know Malaysia is to laugh. Malaysia, Stadium Putra, Bukit Jalil. I'm going to be there. Richard's going to be there. You want to be there too. Wednesday, 29th October 2014. Is it RedTix?
AirAsiaRedTix.com.
There we go. That's where you can go buy your tickets. Harris Iskandar, Jason Leong, it's always a pleasure having you on the show.
Thank you so much for having us. Yeah. Thank you.
Go buy some tickets. You're listening to the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.